Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity, Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by Carolyn, Heidi, and Jen. Now, we're going to review culture. We're here at headquarters for an open house to celebrate the holiday season, Winter Wonderland. So, Carolyn, how about you introduce yourself, your role here at CIS, and give us a little bit of your background.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me. My name is Carolyn Comer. I'm the Chief Human Resources Officer here at the Center for Internet Security. I've been with the organization almost 15 years, watching it grow from a very small number of employees, maybe 12, to, we're at five. What are we at today? Five?
About
500, yeah. It has been an amazing journey and, something that I just enjoy doing on a daily basis. So
wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. A cheero and a hero.
Oh, that's quite the compliment. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. Welcome. Heidi.
I'm Heidi Gonzalez, and I flew in from Milwaukee. So it's nice that CIS is now a remote organization, so we can be coming from all over the place. I work inside of human resources, but more specifically employee experience. So my job is very focused on workplace satisfaction. I work a lot with data and analytics and using that feedback to develop programs that enhance the workplace for all of our employees.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you. And Jen.
Hello, Sean. Thank you for having me. Jen Meyer, Senior Director of Learning and Development. I have been with CIS 11 years. So going back to the OG, when we were actually in the office, it's really nice to be back. But my team focuses on, we are a subset of the human resources team. We focus on fostering an environment of continuous learning. So providing opportunities to help employees develop their careers and their skill sets and prepare for the future.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So now, we've had some long tenures together, and Heidi, you've been here most recently. Now, we have the open house today. How do you feel that is contributing kind of in this new normal of being remote, but bringing people together, celebrating the organization and each other? How is that impacting the organization in terms of its overall culture? So Heidi, we'll start with you.
Sure. It's really nice to have these in-person touch points because we work very efficiently and effectively virtually. CIS does it well. I think from what I understand, I've been remote since before CIS, but when COVID happened, CIS made a very quick and efficient pivot to virtual. However, there's still that human element that try as you might virtually, it's just not the same as having face-to-face contact. There's a lot of handshakes and hugs and people who work together and collaborate often, but it's a different level when you meet in person. And we do it a few times a year, some teams a little bit more. So when we're able to keep those human connections and remove the virtual element, it strengthens the virtual environment too, because those connections last. So to have these periodic touch points, and these touch points are designed very centrally and completely to be connection points. There's no business today. It's for the purpose of connecting and having people build those relationships. It's really invaluable of establishing relationships that carry on throughout the year.
Wonderful. So Carolyn, you've really cultured the culture necessarily to what we have today. How have you seen that change over time, and why is it important that we're here today?
Cultured the culture, Sean?
Absolutely.
That is such a statement.
Thank you very much.
No, I take no responsibility for that. I think that we work together as an HR team and as a leadership team and the staff as a whole to get us to where we are in terms of the culture that we have. I think that seeing these in-person events and seeing how people connect is just such a strong part of, the atmosphere at CIS. And What I mean by that is I've never worked with a group of people that genuinely care and support one another. And so when they get an opportunity to see each other in person, and our organization has grown significantly, to be able to meet people in person, what I notice is it's a re-energized group of people afterward. I think, you know, all of the great things and meeting others and establishing those connections is so important to how we collaborate in the remote environment. So,
yeah, important to keep those connections stronger, I think, what we've done. So, Jen, when we're thinking about these in-person events, and we're creating these stronger connections, these interactions, is there any feedback necessarily that you see in learning and development that helps reflect this culture, these bonds? And really, I think in a lot of cases that I've seen is the re-energized approach for the organization, but there's also this push that this organization culturally is learning and development as well. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I guess I would add that I think what organically happens when we have these events, well, first, we don't do them often, but when we do them big and we do them right. And when you put people together and you put a lot of energy and effort behind creating an environment that allows people to network and learn from each other and connect with people that, you know, are in different lines of business that they wouldn't normally see, it's almost an organic mentorship that happens. And from a learning and development perspective, I think that carries on into the workforce, you know, when we go back remotely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Karen, from a positive perspective of these types of events, how does that reflect our culture? Is it where we see mission driven and being here to motivate one another? Does that help?
I think it does help. And I know we'll probably get into this in a little more depth later. But, you know, when you can form, you know, a relationship beyond what you do on your day-to-day basis with people from across the organization, it just fosters that collaboration that is so integral to the success of the mission in the organization. I think, you know, companies, we read a lot about this in the news, is they're trying to figure this out. Like, how do you foster that environment, you know? So we're seeing a lot of forced in office 2 days a week, you know, hybrid schedules thing, and that may be working in some companies. I think that here at CIS, you know, we have observed, taken feedback, and, you know, shaped what we do in person around really making the connections and the relationships so that we can do our jobs, you know, more effectively in the remote environment, which seems to be working very well for CIS, you know, so.
Yeah, no, wonderful. One of the things that you've set as well as part of our culture is a constant connection to the employees, specifically in the remote space. So Heidi, what type of data, what type of feedback are we getting after these types of events?
Oh, there's a big surge, I think, of just workplace satisfaction, people that are just so happy and connected. And our events team, I mean, I can't even say enough about our events team. We're so lucky. I'm clearly not new to the workforce. I've worked at small and large organizations, and never have I seen a group that has an events team fully dedicated to these. They are feedback driven. So when you ask about feedback, they'll ask specifically what they can do to make these more meaningful. We as an organization will collect feedback to find out how we can take these to continue enhancing our relationships. But yeah, I love that we're a data-driven organization. We use that feedback to get better and to continuously improve. And as we're at an in-person event like this, I just can't express enough gratitude for our events team who works throughout the year to put these together. They don't even get to enjoy them, sadly. So the events team needs an event just for some respite. But we are feedback driven, and I think the employees just love them. I think they would get together more if they could, but we do it as often as is practical, and it's enough that it really keeps us connected to work together virtually throughout.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I think, Jen, when I just walking through the hallway and I'm, you know, meeting kind of people for the first time in person, you know, I'm generating conversations about what are we going to do next and kind of learning from one another. And it's it's enriching. And I think it's funny to say that it's different, right? Because it's, you know, if we're not behind a screen necessarily, we're not necessarily communicating. But how does that affect kind of your direction and what you see to use this as motivation for your continued program development?
Oh, yeah, great question. I am a very, very big believer in experiential learning and unstructured learning. And I feel like that's where the magic happens. And that's the difference. So you put people behind a WebEx camera and you have a structured agenda, and maybe you're there to talk about a specific topic or learn from each other, or there's an actual, you know, something that you're looking to improve or a decision that needs to be made. When you're doing it in person, it's unstructured, it's organic. You are coming up with ideas that you wouldn't necessarily have brought in a formalized way to a meeting. So I think that is what happens naturally when you're putting people together in person.
Absolutely. It's fun to see the creative fires just clicking. So it's inspirational. It's, again, amazing is why. And I think it's important that we continue to do this, Carolyn. So how do you see events like this evolving? Is this something that we're going to sustain or, it's hard to say improve upon, because as Heidi mentioned, the events team go above and absolutely beyond in terms of what they provide for us. So we need an events team so the events team can have an event for that they can celebrate, to Heidi's point as well. But so if we can get in the hiring for that, Carolyn, as soon as possible, that'd be great. But how do you see these events evolving?
I mean, from my perspective and from experience over the last, you know, say four or five years, I always think to myself, how are they going to outdo this? I mean, how are they going to make this any better? And they do it every time. And, you know, so I think that as with everything that we do, focused on continuous improvement at CIS, that team is wholeheartedly dedicated to providing the best experience for the employees when they come in and we get these opportunities to you know, get together in person and have these events. And so improving upon them, you know, I'm going to leave that to the experts in the events team, because they seem to have that all locked down.
They do.
And, you know, and I think a lot of it is our culture based on soliciting, as Heidi stated, employee feedback. You know, we get a lot of our best ideas straight from our staff's mouths. You know, they tell us and we say, you know what, that's great. And, you know, so yeah, let's try it. And
well, I think that's an important point, because it's I think the engagement that we have with the employees and looking for that feedback continuously. I mean, this is not just a once a year, oh, we'll do this as part of a, you know, a process that we do just to make sure that we're in touch with the employees. That's not part of what you've built as the HR culture and the learning culture. It's constantly polling and asking for feedback. What can we be doing better? What can we do? And I think, to me, and again, I'll give this one over to you, Heidi, I think doing that really then gets them engaged anyway, because they feel ownership of some of these elements as well by providing that feedback. Does that make sense in your mind?
Oh, for sure. I think that we talk a lot in the corporate structure of who owns what, who owns this project. Every single employee owns culture and owns the employee experience. It's important to all of us, and whether you're a leader or an individual contributor. So it's really exciting to see the feedback being pulsed throughout the year. We can make quick changes, small adjustments. We can put things into place faster than we would if we were just doing it once a year. We are lucky that we win a lot of workplace satisfaction awards and recognition. We do not survey because of that. We're just lucky that our surveys are able to generate the output that recognizes CIS for all the things that we do have in place. But the constant surveying, constant pulsing is just something that helps us be agile, helps us keep programs throughout the year. I mean, we're here together, but throughout every single month, our events team and other groups within the organization are bringing us together through virtual connections. We have Nourish Your Soul, Noontime Knowledge, meet and greets, different functions for every interest level, our Idea Alliance cares, all the things we do throughout the year to keep people connected, we just continuously engage in. So it's not just these in-person activities that keep us connected. These just are those opportunities that strengthen us, and the feedback keeps us moving in the right direction so that we're bringing the employees what they want and love.
Definitely. One of the things I see, though, as well, with all of those different programs, there's such a diversity in the people that are responsible and part of those. And it's not just one or two individuals that are constantly contributing. It's across the organization. So we've got engagement. We've got passionate people, and encouraging that passion, I think, is critical. And Jen, you know, obviously, we're learners. That's our passion. How do you that translate as well as part of seeing that, and then, you know, kind of your motivation, what you've built really from scratch, our learning culture? Does that help you? And then just encourage, look at what we're able to do, and look at even all of the surveys and the awards that have been won this year alone, I think is absolutely incredible and is contributive to that. And even in learning and development too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that it's an indirect impact in learning and development. And sometimes I feel like a fraud because I get to take credit for us being so successful on our team, but it's because employees are genuinely happy. They're happy. They're happy with everything that we're providing them. And that trickles down to every single department. I think I don't have much to add from a learning and development perspective, but I truly feel that CIS has found the secret sauce to how to make remote workplaces effective without forcing the in-person connection, and doing it in a way that makes people want to join, want to contribute, want to sign up to be a volunteer on an event. It's not forced. It's just, it's really magical. It's so special to see.
And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Most organizations want to streamline their cybersecurity and compliance efforts.
It's just not always easy to do so on your own.
That's where a CIS Secure Suite membership can help.
It provides benefits, tools, and resources designed to help you implement the CIS critical security controls and CIS benchmarks.
Secure Suite can help you strengthen your cyber defenses, comply with common standards and cybersecurity frameworks, all while saving you time, money, and effort.
Apply for membership today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Start secure and stay secure with CIS Secure Suite.
Thank you. And let's jump back into the episode.
Okay, Carolyn. Well, you're going to need to reveal the secret sauce, because there are organizations that are struggling in this new normal, the remote. You've seen their reactions now as bring people back. And in some cases that, like you said, that there may be some positive elements that you can attribute to that, but that's not the CIS way. So when you, you know, in terms of balancing inclusivity and meaningful engagement with a remote workforce, what do you see as the secret sauce that you've been able to create? And again, with your team and really this organization?
Again, I'm going to make the statement I did not create. I'm not particularly a good cook, so I'm not making any sauce. But anyhow, this is a collaborative effort. And this is, you know, again, amongst not only the HR team, but the leadership team and every employee that works here. So, you know, I think a lot of that's been touched on. A lot of organizations, they value their people. But do they put the effort, energy, and resource behind it? Meaning, do they have somebody dedicated to employee experience on their staff? Do they have somebody running in a department that focuses on the learning and development of their employees? Our organization doesn't just talk the talk, they walk the walk in terms of putting employee programs in place that support the health and well-being of everyone. And that is always been our first priority. And we've been able to maintain that. Not only that, I think that, you know, putting a very strong focus, like Heidi alluded to earlier, the events team, I don't know many organizations that have that really focus on putting together things that engage our people with one another in the remote environment. Now, we haven't taken the position that we're going to force back in the office, and nor do I see that happening. Our culture, I think one of the underpinnings of it is you know, accountability, meaning everybody's a participant here. This is not a top-down directive. And so people take ownership for, you know, their work outputs in the remote environment. They take accountability for their participation in the organization. And I think that in the way that we tie each employee's sort of goals, not only, you know, performance goals, but development goals, directly to the growth and success of our organization and directly to our strategic priorities, makes people feel like they're connected to something and they see how they contribute on a daily basis. And so that I said that very high level, there's a lot of work, effort, and energy that goes into each aspect of that. So I think where companies might, you know, take a lesson is, you know, really dive deep, take a look, listen to your employees, act on the feedback, and show the workforce what you're doing and in response to it. And I think CIS has done a really, really good job doing that.
Absolutely. Just one element of accountability, I think there's also the board engagement in this space as well is hugely impactful because they want to know necessarily how are our employees doing, especially in, and this was obviously a turned up a notch with the obviously the pandemic and now where we are in the new normal. I think that gives a fresh look as well. It's not just about necessarily revenue generation or things like that from other organizations' perspective. This is a people-first organization. How does that contribute? Does that help you necessarily engage the program you've built?
Absolutely. And over the years and in my career, I've worked for some really, you know, great leaders that were very concerned about culture and people, but was the resource there? Was the attention really being placed on it? And I can say with the leadership that we have in place here at CIS, it is 100% fact that is their number one priority. And with the board's support and interest and input into helping us guide, you know, where we take our programs and how we respond to, you know, issues and how we grow our programs. I mean, their input's been invaluable because they bring a different perspective from all different industry, and we're able to use that and customize it to CIS. So they've been an integral part, and I, when we speak, I tell them how much I appreciate their support in this area.
Yeah, definitely. I think that helps necessarily, or is a requirement of success to move in that direction. Wonderful. So Heidi, when you're looking at culture and engagement, what type of innovations do you see in our future and things that you've got planned? I know there's always a master plan and then some new thoughts and ideas in your mind.
Yeah.
Any of those you'd like to share?
Sure. I think 2024, we had a big focus on belonging, which I think is really central to everything within culture building and in the employee experience. And it's exciting to now look at 2025 because Carolyn and I think all the leaders and board were supportive of pushing us toward an actual organizational objective toward employee well-being. So now the next step is making sure that our employees have all the resourcing. We'll be working with the learning and development a lot on mental health first aid that we're piloting. So we're really digging into, we have virtual workforce. So as wonderful and flexible as that can be, it can also be isolating. So we have the fun, wonderful connecting events here. And now to make sure people can perform at their best and be their best selves, we're trying to have an emphasis on well-being, whether it's physical, mental, and financial well-being even through some of our programs. So it's exciting to see that being a big focus to the point of being a 2025 objective, and then just continuing to build on programs that employees have asked for. So that'll be fun. To be determined.
To be determined. Yes, wonderful. Well, I think one of the other great points in this space is there is continuous innovation. This is not, we've cracked culture where we're going to leave, you know, we're done. It's always a part of what can we be doing better, getting a tone, a sense from the organization, and then even yourselves, you know, assessing that. And again, I love the data approach necessarily that you use, Heidi. Obviously, that's fantastic. And Carolyn, when you were going through this process of building necessarily this position, Heidi, coming into the organization, that's unique. It's an organization of our size, you know, 500. That's not something you would usually see. You know, maybe you could attribute that to large organizations, Fortune 500s and things like that. But we're just 500, right? And that's... So what motivated you in that space? Was that feedback? Was that your innovation? Or just listening to kind of what the industry was moving toward and will adopt and adapt in that space?
No, I think for us, when we started to think about this position, at the time, it was Christina Rankin, our director, Jen Myers, our senior director, really looking at this and saying, this is sort of taken on a life of its own. It needs a dedicated resource. Because if we're going to be able to adequately respond to and facilitate employee feedback sessions with teams and put a dedicated focus on it, really, is the way I would talk about it. We need to invest in it. And, you know, we're so happy to have Heidi and all of her background and talent on board. The feedback I get from staff when she works with the teams is incredibly positive. And I think it's just another piece of, yes, we want these things, but how much do we want them? Do we want them enough to put resource behind it? And we do. And it's that important to us. So.
No, absolutely. I'll give you some feedback right now on the podcast. So when working with Heidi, just here's your kudos, this is where it is. It's not a dictation of these are the things you're doing wrong. This is an enhancement to your program and continuous improvement and meet us where we are necessarily. And you look at that from different levels of maturation necessarily of this throughout different business units. That is a skill and a talent. So we appreciate that obviously hugely. And I do see that when I talk to my employees and my employees engage with you as well, is that tactic that you apply is transformative in this space. It's not just a data point. It's something we can actualize. So there you go, Carolyn. Just a little feedback as we're on the podcast. You're welcome. Now, Jen, your innovations for 2025, you're always thinking about what's next in learning development, what's next for our employees. Any thoughts there?
Oh, yes, I have a lot of thoughts. But I think historically what you've seen in learning and development, we've grown rapidly. I think that we are going to see in 2025 more customized in-house learning opportunities for staff. We've outsourced a lot. We haven't, had the resources internally to be able to deliver exactly what it is we're looking for. A lot of the stuff you buy off the shelf is great, but it needs a little customization to what we're looking for. So 2025, I think, is going to be the year we're going to continue to invest in critical skill development. We're going to continue to focus on, skill sets such as leadership, artificial intelligence, data analysis. And what's really awesome about that is that we hire a lot of brilliant people in those critical skill sets, and we're starting to pull together communities of practice and learn from each other. I mean, we don't have to go out into the industry to learn about artificial intelligence. A lot of the time we have the people right on staff who can talk about it and teach us. And we're starting to develop those connections and create more environments for that to happen organically. And so I think we're going to see in 2025 a shift from, the formalized instructor-led training where you take 2 days out of your schedule and you go and you come back and you learn all this stuff. We're going to see a lot more application of that and working collaboratively across the organization with subject matter experts.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, we do have an extraordinarily talented set of staff that are. And I think the other piece in that, Jen, as well, that I'm going to say that you're motivating. So this is Jen's kudos. So just FYI, Karen. is the motivation for that contribution to train, to provide, and to contribute to something, not just I'm a domain knowledge expert, that's it. It's all part of being this community. This culture is building a way for us to share that knowledge. And we've got people that are looking at artificial intelligence as a side project. It's just a hobby, and we need to bring that in-house. This is fantastic, and we were able to experience that. And it's again, brings that sense of ownership. And again, it's fulfilling different needs with Maslow's hierarchy. I do know something, Carolyn, in this space for motivation, is it that brings, I think, different levels to the organization and creates such a, I think, diversity in terms of being able to teach at different levels in the organization. So again, just great work in that space. And then finally, Carolyn, your kudos.
This is my kudos.
This is your kudos. We're doing it all today. this is what we get when we're in person. Podcast kudos. Is one of the things that I've seen is as we've grown. So we were in this office working together for many years, and then all of a sudden, it was different. And what I see is not a reflection, and I'm sure it wasn't easy. It looked, just transformed the organization overnight. And what we have, I think, is stronger. And we've doubled even more the employees and being able to bring them in I don't see that happening without you being here, respectfully. And I know you say it's a team effort. I completely understand, but I don't think it's done as well without you here. So we obviously appreciate you, Heidi and Jen, as part of the team, and continuing to encourage us and move us down a direction where it's not a job, it's a community. It really is. So thank you.
Thank you for the compliment. I will add to that, though. I mean, I'm just kind of hearkening back to when we took this organization remote, when we didn't think we could, especially, we'll say, for an example, with our security operations center. And what we saw the staff and leadership do to pivot almost, what I would say, overnight and start to build on this. And then we placed a massive focus on employee onboarding and how do we get them integrated into the organization properly, things like that. It was such an effort, and I think that I couldn't have been more proud of my colleagues and my team that really helped bring that all together. IT, I mean, fantastic job with that, and what Heidi is evolving that into as well is, we hire people and now we have a very set program to try to, get them integrated and make sure they have access to everything they need. But she's taking it further now. She's collecting feedback on a 3-month, 6-month basis. She's, using that to fine tune our programs. And, it was something that I think a lot of companies struggled with. And with the attention that we placed on it, I think we ended up in a really great spot. So
could not agree more. Well, thank you all. Really appreciate you taking the time out of our event here. Great to see you all in person. So thank you so much. And thank you to our audience. Questions, comments, concerns, podcast@cisecurity.org. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Make sure to subscribe in all the usual ways. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.